Here at Life Matters, we do like to leave the building occasionally and go to our guests rather than have them come to us. And so our producer, Amal Awad, has been doing a series for Life Matters on migrant stories of coming to Australia and what happened next. Recently, she made her way out to a little barbershop in the western suburbs of Sydney to talk to Sam Petru, who came to Sydney in 1961 from Greece.
Hi, how are you, Sam?
Good to see you.
My name is Sam Petru, and in my professional life, I've been a barber all my life, and I'm still practicing as a barber at my age, which is 72 years of age. I was born in 1944 in a small town called Sofikon in the province of Corinth in Greece. And our family found it necessary to immigrate to Australia, same as a lot of other families at the time, to enhance their possibilities and for the future of their children.
What was your first impression of Australia, and how did that compare to what you expected in the first place?
Australia, of course, it was totally different than what we had seen aboard the ship, because aboard the ship they had movies about Australia, and mainly they used to sell homesteads and farms with ladies wearing long dresses, and they used to sell sheep, thousands and thousands of sheep and cows. And when you're getting into a city and you see that this place is habitated by a civilized society, it becomes more or less an anticlimax, you know.
How did that feel to you as a teenage boy?
Of course, it was very exciting because when you're a teenager and you're coming from small townships and small cities in comparison to white spaces, bigger cities, and crossing the oceans, the Red Sea, and coming to Australia. I mean, it is very exciting for a 17-year-old, you know. So, you came at the right time. We've got a client here as well, because it's been a quiet time this week.
Con, how long have you been coming to Sam?
Many years.
Why do you like coming to Sam?
Because Sam is a gentleman. He got nice, good stories.
I came here on a Monday and I started working in the barbershop at St. Peter's on Thursday.
Oh, wow. So culture shock and straight into work.
My employer was a Greek from our provinces, and he had a mixed business, a man hairdressing, a lady's hairdressing. Because I was efficient in my job, he was very kind to me. He was paying me adult wages, even though I was only 17. And he had a scheme where if you did more than 20 haircuts a day, you used to get a shilling commission every extra haircut. So if you did, say, for instance, an extra 10 haircuts, you used to get 10 shillings, or 10 bob, I used to call it those days. And on a 6-day a week, there was £3. 60 shillings was £3. And I used to take home nearly £23 a week, which was a phenomenal amount of money for any adult, let alone a 17-year-old. Did you see this photograph? I bring it here with me. I bring a different photograph every day of a different time of life together, because we spent so many years together.
Shirley was a beautiful lady. She was Anglo-Saxon, and she had Scottish parents, and she was a divorcee, and she had a little boy at the time. And we met by chance in the midnight at the club, which used to be called the Associated Motor Club. And that's where some of the modern, of the day, jazz singers used to sing there, Ricky Mai and Norman Erskine, and it used to be beautiful there. And myself and my friend, we ventured out on a Monday night, and we met a couple of girls there on at the Castle Rye Hotel, and from there on, we went to Manchester, we had a couple more drinks, and we went to the restaurant, and by that time, it was 11 o'clock. What do we do? Let's go to the Associated Motor Club. So we went to the third floor where the piano bar was, and all of a sudden we looked around and there was only another company with few people celebrating a birthday. And one of those people, he recognized me as being the person who cut his hair, and he invited us to go and join them.
So we joined them, we became one group, and I happened to sit next to Shirley, and that was my destiny. We started talking, and one thing led to the other.
So you were actually on another date.
Well, you can call it a diet. I mean, we had met two girls, yes. And at the end of the night, we exchanged telephone numbers, and...
The rest, as they say, is history.
Yes, yes, yes. And been together for 48 years altogether. Sadly, she passed away 2 years ago, and I miss her terribly, but she left a long-lasting mark in my life. The mountain from Little Hill, gonna build me a mountain, least I hope I will. When the time came for me to marry Shirley, I experienced a lot of difficulties at home because my parents had other expectations of me, to marry a Greek girl, and to find that I married a lady which was divorced with a little child and other personal issues. And of course, the Greek Orthodox Church didn't want to know us because she was a divorcee at the time. We finished up getting married at the Westside Chapel at King's Cross, Reverend Ted Knopf's, wonderful man. He reassured us that our love for each other will overcome all the difficulties that we were encountering. Yeah, yeah.
Interracial marriage is still a big thing for a lot of people these days, even though Australia is very multicultural. It's not easy for parents who come from a different country to accept it when their child wants to marry someone from a different culture. What was that like for you to go to your parents and say, this is the woman I want to marry, and to have them say, we don't approve?
Yes, it was devastating, actually. Devastating, because you can imagine if they had consented, how different my life would have been. I mean, we had an established business, and I had just completed a journeyman course in tech for light years hairdressing, and I was at the best of my life, 25, 26 years of age, with an incredible future ahead of me. Instead, I find myself unemployed in a shop which was virtually doing nothing for me, had no prospect. It was only years afterwards I managed to make wages in that shop. If I didn't have the other job, I wouldn't be able to make it. And that was because we sold the shop for the simple reason, because if I'm going to leave home because my parents object me marrying my wife, that was never going to change my mind. How can I go to work with my dad the moment I've left home? What sort of relationship would that be? It was a very difficult time, a very difficult time. And when we got married and left home, I had a second-hand barbecue table with two chairs, second-hand fridge, and a bed which was a second-hand bed. And the bed was the table, it was the lounge chairs, it was everything. That's all we had. In those days, there was no credit cards. You understand? And you had to go to work and save. And Shirley had to go and help me. She used to do a bit of bar work. And sadly, because of the bar work, she developed emphysema from passive smoking later on, and I've lost her. And she suffered so much for the last 10 years of her life because of the unsafe working conditions that existed those days in bar work.
Church, nothing.
Chose to go to the sport on Sunday.
Nothing. Nothing good.
That's because
when I come to Australia, that's beautiful.
But not
now.
When did your parents come around?
Oh well, they eventually realized that maybe within the first 4 months they had come around, because they realized that my wife and I were living for each other and we tried to do everything possible. Mind you, also Shirley being more mature than me, because she was nearly 12 years older than me, which was another handicap.
It was very progressive as well for that time.
And, but obviously, you've seen the photographs, she was so beautiful that the age difference was not apparent at any stage. And because after having the first child, she developed problems that she had to have major surgery, that we couldn't have any children. And of course, that was another big handicap that I had to overcome with my parents, because my parents were expecting me to bring a child to this world that would carry, preferably if there's a boy, to carry the name of my father. When they discovered that Shirley couldn't have any children, that was even worse than anything. So
a lot of crosses.
Oh, yeah.
When you look back on your life in Australia, which is really your adulthood.
Of course, all my life, from the age of 17. Think about it, I'm 72 now. Yeah.
How do you feel about the choices that you've made in your life? And do you think you would do anything differently?
No, I had a very fulfilling life in this country, very fulfilling life. I've been rewarded for my efforts. I have had... What can I hope for? I got a nice home. I got a nice home. Unit that I'm living is nice and clean. I got nice clothes. And besides, all you got to bed at night and you're on your own, you can only look at one ceiling at a time. It wouldn't matter where you are. And if you are lonely, you can be just as lonely in a one-bedroom home or two-bedroom home than a 10-bedroom home. You know, so I couldn't expect any more. I think I overcome all the difficulties of life. I'm still doing well for someone who has 7 stents in his heart, even though she's gone now 2 years since she left on the 23rd of September, 2013. Even though she's gone now, and she's with me every moment. It's never been a moment that she's not with me. And she's still with me every moment I come home, and I talk to her every morning I wake up, and every evening when I go to sleep, and every day when I walk away and come back home. She's like never left me, and she will never leave me, because why would she leave me? She loved me too much to leave me anyway. Is it true? I think so. People who love you, they don't leave you behind. Okay.
Amal Awad speaking to Sam Petru in his barber shop in the western suburbs of Sydney. You've been listening to Life Matters. Thanks so much for your company. I'm Ellen Fanning.